Hey there, Bridge family, it's Pastor Jeff, and welcome to day number two of our exercise of walking through Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, and taking a closer look at a message that I've entitled, Behold Your God. Now, just to refresh your memory, last time we got together, we looked to God's Word to better understand what the God of the Word would teach us from the Word of God. And I said to you that if we would take five steps, five pillars of worship, if we would embrace these five steps that really embrace a reverent view of God, a reverent perspective, a reverent posture towards God, that each of us would be richly blessed. Well, today I want to come and I want to talk to you about step number two, and that is that we learn the Word of God, and that we learn what the God of the Word would want us to embrace as His disciples. So I ask you to ask yourself, what do you know? What have you learned? What do you believe about Almighty God? About Jesus the Christ, about our one Lord and Savior, and what have you learned about your relationship to Him? And what have you learned about your relationship to Him and its relationship to everything and everyone else in your world? Watch this, and I pray, more than anything else, I pray that you will be calibrated as you surrender to victory. And I pray, by the grace of God, embrace what He has really said, and that you would really get to know this God of all reality. I pray that this time will bless you richly. Again, it's His Word that we must go to if we're going to worship and walk with Him. So we look to the Word to get what we need to learn, and that's the second point. Let's continue in the passage. It says, and then He has spoken to us by His Son. We need to learn what the Word of God has said in the Word of God. Jesus is Lord, and He is also the Word. And we need to learn what the Word has said in and through the Word. I ask you again, are you learning what our Lord is teaching? Are you looking to learn what our Lord is teaching? Oh, I pray that you are. You see, if you and I will embrace, if we'll go look for and then learn who our God really is and what He has really said, it will radically change everything. Now again, let me show you a compilation of spiritual insights that have been brought to us by other brothers in the Lord. Watch this and ask yourself, is this the learning that I've been looking for and that I'm not only living but loving? I pray that this too will inspire you. Watch this and then we'll pick right back up.
The whole business of the Christian gospel is to bring us to God. To bring us to God so that we are made aware of God and God becomes real to us. That's what it's about. And that's why Christ came, that's why He died. So sometimes, perhaps for no fault of their own, people misunderstand what a Christian really is. And that's sad. So it's important, I think, that we emphasize that He died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God, so that God becomes a real person in our lives and not just a theological proposition.
You're delighted in what you know? Or are you delighted in knowing Him?
Is the most important thing about a man what enters his mind when he thinks about God? I totally agree with Tozer.
Everything that we know about Christianity is built upon the foundation of the attributes of God. Every doctrine that we believe is somehow hinged, directly related to our view of God. It affects everything. It colors everything. Now, I would agree with Tozer, and I have a great respect for Tozer, but I could go beyond Tozer to quote a higher authority, and that would be, of course, Jeremiah. And he tells us that that wise men, even wise men, should not boast in their wisdom, and that men of great strength should not boast in their might, and that rich men, of course, should not boast in their riches. But the one who boasts should boast in this. God says that he understands me and that he knows me. It's from that knowledge of God that everything else flows.
There's no doubt in my mind that what a man thinks of God clearly indicates everything about his life of any consequence whatsoever.
What you or I think about God affects everything that we are and everything that we do. And that's exposed or revealed everywhere that we look. I mean, all the decisions that we make, that we see other people making, the root issue there is what that person believes or doesn't believe about God, who they think he is.
If we have a typical American view of God, we don't have a view of the God of the Bible at all. And it shows up in the life and in the way that people think and pray and live.
Personally, in my own experience, thinking that I was very familiar with God for a long time, and not until I was almost 19 years old being confronted with the God of the Bible. And I knew him in name only, maybe, and really had a God of my own imagination. I took a little concepts from Scripture and added them to that. But then when Tozer's book fell into my hands, from which that quote comes, which is the knowledge of the holy, and he begins that way, says, the most important thing about any person is what enters their mind when they think about God. And then he unpacked the grand attributes of God for the remaining chapters. I remember the effect the book left on me. It was instantly and then afterward. I'm not nearly as familiar with the God that I thought I was so familiar with. And I want to know him. I want to know this God for who he is.
That really is what I believe rethinking God biblically is all about. It's putting God first.
We are not just on the planet by accident. We are not here to please ourselves. We are here to glorify God and to praise him and to live for him and to know him, not just to know about him, but to know him personally. And I think that knowing about him is extremely important, because obviously to know a person, you need to know about a person. And knowing about God is what we normally mean by theology. But knowing God is about spiritual experience and reality. If you like, a felt experience of God, somebody you know as a person.
Experiencing God. Not just some comprehension of the mind or the intellect. To honestly say that not only do you have high thoughts of this God, you walk with him. He is your reality.
The emphasis here is hunger for God. And what goes along with that is the conviction that there is always more of God for the believer. So you and I may be able to say, well, yes, I was converted under such and such a sermon, and now it's been so many years since that happened, and it was wonderful what happened. Ah, but there's more of God. Am I hungering? Am I thirsting? Am I reaching out for more of God?
I try to teach my children about the beauty of God, the pleasures of God. See, when we talk about attributes, we're not just talking about this or that, omniscience, righteousness, holiness. No, it's all these things that he is. The fullness of all perfection.
It ought to be our great interest. The great work of our lives ought to be to get to know this God and to get to know him as he's revealed himself to us on the pages of the Bible, and seek to see exactly what he says about how he ought to be worshiped. The guidelines that he's given us in approaching him.
That comes about when our Lord Jesus Christ is glorified, when he is central.
Then all of a sudden he unfolds just a little bit more of himself, and we're mesmerized. And then he unfolds a little bit more of himself, and we begin to realize that what makes heaven heaven is the fact that we are going to be in an eternal pursuit of tracking down this God that is infinite. Every day, greater revelations of glory.
It's asinine to think that we know Him at all if we don't want to know Him more.
The renewing of vital Christian experience and vital Christian witness, I think, ultimately, is about seeking God for Himself and pursuing God for Himself and wanting to know God for Himself, rather than simply for the blessings that He conveys upon us. Do you remember how in Luke chapter 10, for example, our Lord tells the 70 disciples who returned from a preaching mission, flushed with success, "Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And then we are told that Jesus rejoiced greatly in God His Father. You have three types of joy there. You have the joy of success, which is real in its own way, for the spirits to be subject to them was a real source of joy. But the greater joy was the joy of salvation, knowing that their names were written in heaven. But even that joy pales into insignificance compared with our Lord's joy in God Himself, in His Father. And that interpersonal relationship of joy within the Trinity is to me what we are meant also to have a share in.
We can hear these things, we can embrace these things, but they do not mean they're realities in our life. And until they are realities in our life, the work is not finished. And I do not believe these things can become realities apart from prayer. What frightens me are men full of a lot of correct knowledge, even a lot of great views of God, but it hasn't been applied to their heart through prayer. Let me share something with you that's so important. These high views of God are not just gained for yourself in a library, sitting in a cushy chair. They're fought for. They're costly.
I'm deeply convinced that the vast majority who call themselves Christians are not, because they have never truly exposed themselves to the God of the Bible.
You have to have this God. And if you don't have Him, you're dead. He's not a plus, He's not a bonus. He's absolute necessity.
And if we do not get back to true biblical thinking about God, then our situation is utterly without hope.
So the bottom line is God first, always foremost.
And again, I say amen. I wonder, friend, were you challenged by what you heard? I pray that you were inspired. You've heard me say before that when we disciple, it's a compilation of informing, inspecting, and inspiring. And when you see Christ for who He really is, and when you understand what the Word of God has really said, and when you truly surrender to victory in Christ and you become the Christian that Christ has called you to be, then you won't mind learning what you just heard. In fact, you'll embrace it and you'll begin to listen. You'll listen not only to what the Lord is saying, but you'll listen for what the Spirit of God wants from you in each situation.